Welcome to the Right Turn Radio Podcast. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean.
And you're listening to New England's foremost addiction and mental health program. Tonight we're talking about how women deal with addiction, the kinds of treatment that works best for them, why women should go into different kinds of treatment alone? Should they be in gender-specific treatment? Do they have different needs in treatment? Do they have different needs in recovery?
Yes.
I'm asking all these questions because I'm clueless.
No, I'm watching John. He's like, women. Oh, no. So, yes.
They have cooties, I hear.
So he's going to be the only man on the show. It's great.
Punching bag. So tonight we have several guests joining us. We have from Crossroads in Maine, we have Marianne Roy. She's a licensed psychologist and the clinical director of Crossroads. And we also, from Crossroads, have Lori Martin. She's a licensed social worker and a case manager. Welcome to Right Turn Radio, Marianne and Lori.
Thank you.
And we also have Holly. She's going to give us a first-hand account of her recovery, and she's been sober in recovery for 5 years. And we'll also be hearing from Kristen. She'll be giving a first-hand account of bad and good women's treatment. She now works in the field. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So I guess the first thing I wanted, you guys, we've been talking a lot before the show, but what I really wanted to hear, we've been careful not to hear the whole story, is to hear kind of why you needed to get into treatment, how you got into treatment, and kind of what worked and what didn't. So, Holly, do you want to tell us your story?
Sure. I'll try to just nutshell it for you. I about 5.5 years ago went into treatment, and I had been sort of spiraling down with alcohol and some prescription drugs for a while, and I was very resistant to getting any help for it. I just thought maybe I could just do it on my own, like sort of cut back or control my drinking. And my behavior was getting to be so erratic and sort of alarming to my family. I was
like,
married with
like
two
what?
Children. Like, I would, you know, I was doing, let's see, I would like just pass out, not remember what had happened the night before. Also, my husband traveled a lot, and I had two children, and he was really concerned about the children. I was, you know, going out at night, drinking and driving, a lot of other things that I'm not going to get into that a
Good.
Married woman with two children probably shouldn't be doing.
Yep. So, and then, so who put pressure on you to get sober?
My ex-husband.
And what?
My husband at the time.
How did he do that?
He said he was going to take the children away from me and leave me. And so that at that point, I acquiesced and said I would go to treatment. I didn't want to go. I didn't want to get sober. I didn't think I was that bad.
Right, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, it's remarkable. Looking back on it now, it's just amazing. But I just saw everybody kind of, you know, I'm living in the suburbs. Everybody's drinking. I was drinking wine. I didn't think I was at the point where I was, you know, an alcoholic to me with somebody that was drinking, you know, heavier stuff and drinking during the day or whatever my criteria was for an alcoholic. I really didn't feel like I met that. But I did end up going to a really great place in Pennsylvania for a 30-day program. But driving there with my ex-husband in the car, like, I did not want to be going, and I didn't want to stop drinking.
What did you learn about yourself at treatment?
Well, this program in particular was focused on the 12 steps, and it also had a really big spiritual component, which it was kind of like going to college for recovery. So we had, we would sit in like a lecture hall type of a thing. And the women were, there were men there too in their own section, and there were women were separate. I learned a lot about the disease of addiction, and I knew that it was in my family. So it wasn't like it wasn't brand new information, but the way they broke it down was really, really, by the end of the 30 days, I wanted to give it a shot.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up going to further treatment from there as they recommended. But I it was the first time that I saw the possibility of living life without alcohol.
So the groups and things were with women primarily.
We traveled around with the women, and the men were sort of on the other side of the lecture hall. It was an interesting setup because there was a lot of sort of shenanigans going on. And I'm, you know, at that point, I can't say that I wasn't a part of that, but there was sort of consequences for interacting. I think that it didn't make sense for the facility to have two completely different facilities for the men and the women, but they kept them separate as much as possible.
Do you think it made a difference for you that there was primarily women around?
Absolutely. I mean, I was really out of control at that point, and I wouldn't have been. I was so easily distracted by, you know, men or anything else that I could get, you know, that I could do to distract myself from the way I was really living my life and behaving and feeling, that it was the only way that I could kind of settle down and listen to the information was by having the groups with just the women.
So, Kristen.
I mean, that's such a wonderful story. I love that thing about going to recovery college for recovery.
Yeah,
that was great.
The lecture hall.
The lecture hall, and then the groups, the therapy where we spoke up was solely women. And I think that was critical for me.
Wow. Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Kristen, can you tell us a little bit about how you went into treatment and the story about your first episode in treatment?
Sure. So I had been using, you know, I started off like everyone I knew, just drinking and having fun on weekends and stuff like that. And then eventually pills came into the picture. A lot of my friends had started. I kind of held off as long as I could. And then it kind of turned into, if you can't beat them, join them. I wanted to see what the big deal was. And sure enough, didn't take long. And I ended up, you know, and ended up with a really serious problem. At first, I was able to maintain a job and kind of keep a good cover. And then, you know, it got to a point where it wasn't the flu. I was actually like sick from not having what I needed. And so I went to my parents, told them I needed help. I ended up in a detox, and, you know, my mom, I don't know how she got this number or what what she ended up doing, but she called like a 1-800 help hotline. I don't know, you know, which one or how she got it, but they came and picked me up, and I'm in the car with my sister, and she's like, you know, I can't believe you're going to Connecticut. And I'm like, Connecticut? I thought I was going to, like, you know, some luxurious place with a pool and a massage and, you know, that kind of stuff. Anyways, I ended up in a Puerto Rican TC in Hartford, Connecticut.
Could you explain what a TC is?
It's a therapeutic community. So basically their beliefs is like break you down to build you back up. And I was broken enough. I don't really think I needed any more breaking. But so, you know, there was no 12-step meetings, no 12-step work. There was one group in the morning. We went around and said like how we were doing. And then we'd bake pastries all day and go, you know, we'd go in an unmarked van and get dropped off around the projects in Connecticut, different towns, and we'd sell the pastries door to door.
I'm not with Lori or Marianne right now, but I can hear them gasping over the phone.
So that was treatment for me for 6 months, and I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know that there was any other option. You know, my parents didn't have the money to pay for any private treatment, and I had to, I wanted to make them happy. I didn't necessarily want to stop using, and I found a way to use in that program and ended up leaving 6 months later.
And then, so you relapsed when you got home.
Yep.
And you found treatment after that.
Right. So I ended up leaving. I was home for 4 months. I was, I was unemployed at this point. Like, there was no denying. And I had, you know, advanced to even worse drugs. And I ended up doing a lot of things I never said that I would ever do. And I turned into one of those, like, junkies I used to say that I wasn't. Mm. And so I went to another detox. And, you know, because of the person at the detox I worked with, he led me to another program, like a TSS, which basically holds you until you can get into further treatment. And I ended up in a halfway house in Tewksbury, the Glenisheen program, which I didn't know existed. I didn't, you know, have to pay out of pocket. My parents didn't have to take the burden on of my disease or, you know, the treatment for it. And I ended up there for a year, and it was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
So we have, you know, three episodes of treatment here. Thank you, by the way, Holly and Kristen, for telling us those stories. But we have three kind of different settings, I think is a, is a nice way to say it, and two wonderful outcomes in the long run, because both of you women are in recovery. And when we come back from the break, we're going to hear from the other side, from some of the clinical side, from Marianne Roy and Lori Martin from Crossroads in Maine. We're talking about women in treatment tonight on Right Turn Radio. We'll be back right after the break. Marianne, you know, you heard Holly and Kristen's stories, and it's kind of, you know, a spectrum of different types of different ways to get into treatment and different types of treatment.
And good and bad treatment.
But what should somebody look for? What should a woman or her family look for when they're going to treatment? What do they need to keep an eye out for?
I can absolutely answer that question. I just also want to just thank Holly and Kristen for sharing their experiences, because it's incredibly important for other women to hear what's been helpful and what hasn't been helpful. At Crossroads, we've been around for 40 years. We have two residential programs that provide primary treatment for women experiencing challenges with addiction. And the two houses, one is geared specifically for women that are mothers and have young children, and allows them to bring their young kids with them to treatment. And one of the things that I can't emphasize the most for women that are looking for treatment is the importance of gender-responsive approach. You know, Kristen, I think that you were kind of talking about a program that you attended early on that was gender, it seemed like it was gender separate, where they were separating out the men and women in the milieu and trying to create some specialized tracks, but at the same time there was still some opportunity for mixing, and that presents unique challenges. A lot of times women coming into treatment that have experienced challenges with addiction have a history of trauma, and that's where the element of having a milieu that's mixed gender could be challenging, because a woman's not necessarily going to feel comfortable opening up and reflecting on her trauma in a group or setting where men are present, because a lot of times their trauma has occurred with a male. You know, it's really important too for, you know, child care, and lack of child care is such a barrier for women entering treatment. It's really important to have a place that you can go where they are including families in part of that healing process, because it is also a family disease. And it sounds like for Holly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Holly, you had to maybe leave your children.
That was
you
Kristen.
Your treatment.
No. Holly left her children, yeah.
Yeah, I did. And I really felt they were a little bit older. They were 10 and 13. And I felt like I could not go for 30 days.
Yeah.
You know, and my husband at the time was able to stay with them, so I did have that opportunity. But for the women with younger children, that your program sounds wonderful. But I felt like I could never leave them for 30 days,
absolutely,
which was in my own head because I wasn't functioning well anyhow.
Right, but it is hard to leave your children.
It was very hard,
and I think that sometimes that can be underestimated. And I think that you were very fortunate to be able to have a place where you could leave your children and know that your children were safe. Not all women have that option.
Yeah.
So it's really nice for women to know the opportunities that are out there for their children, because women just face so much stigma in our culture. Women that are experiencing challenges with addiction in general. And then if you add to that, you know, if the woman is a mother, you know, that's all the more reason to hide the disease of addiction, just the shame and guilt that a woman might feel because of that. And then if you're pregnant and you're using, you know, magnify that shame and guilt by 1,000. You know, these are unique barriers that men don't necessarily face in our culture. And I think it's really important for men and women to have places where they can go that look at elements around sexuality, spirituality, sense of self, relationships, and how does that differ between the two genders. Kristen, I think you mentioned that, you started out drinking and then you developed this mentality, well, if you can't beat them, join them.
Right.
That's something that's very unique towards women. Women are very relational beings. When one of our relationships is strained, we feel that anxiety, we feel that tension. And women will tend to use substances in order to join and in order to feel like they're relating to the other person. And then all of a sudden this dependency, you know, this abuse cycle develops.
So we hear the gender differences and we hear the challenges that women face. What strengths do they bring to the table in treatment? What do you see as being the strong characteristics that women bring?
I think what is wonderful in my work with women in providing gender responsive treatment, when women come into treatment with us, it's very common where they say, you know, I don't get along with other females. I don't get along with other women. But by virtue of being relational beings, we heal in relationships. And we learn how to have safe and healthy relationships with other females. And in a group setting, that's the foundation for the work that comes. We create a comfortable and safe environment for each other to start doing that work around our trauma, to start relating with other mothers who are also in early recovery with the challenges. We create an environment where people can start feeling safe to talk about things that they've been keeping secret for a very, very long time. So I think that's definitely the strength that women bring, especially, you know, if you're a mom and you can talk about those things that if you talked about it on the outside, you might feel that you're being judged.
I wanted to hear a little, Holly and Kristen, when you hear this, and we'll start with you, Holly, when you hear this talk about the safety of talking with women in a group, and is that something you kind of you relate to and understand?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I followed up treatment with 12-step, recovery, and I go to, I do try to hit a couple women's meetings because for that reason, and what you said, what you were saying about the shame and the stigma about a mom, involved in addiction is, whether it's, it's in, we feel it inside or if it's really there, I'm sure there's a little bit of both, but it is really powerful. And you really feel less judged if you're with women that are in the same boat, like, that they're not judging you if they're there for the same reason as you, trying to get well, to be more available.
Was that your experience? Was that your experience too, Kristen?
Definitely. I liked how she said that we're like relationship beings, and I think part of the reason that I started may have been because of, the ties that I had to the people that started and the fact that I didn't want to lose those relationships by not using with them. So I wanted to try and see what the big deal was and join them. And, and that was the same for me in treatment. I needed to be around other women that have been where I was and then got where I wanted to be. And that went all the way up to the staff. Some of the staff at the program that I was in are graduates of the program or just recovering alcoholics and addicts themselves. And I needed power of examples. I needed people that I felt comfortable talking around. And, and I needed other women to relate to me. By the time I got there, I had destructed my relationships with my mother, my sister, my best friends, all people that, I care about the most in this world, but unfortunately put behind my drug of choice. And so I needed to build relationships back up with the women I lived with. And they kind of filled a void for me until I could get the relationships back that I wanted.
Yeah, one thing I know from, the work we do at Right Turn is that when you get cohesion among a group of women, it is impossible to interrupt that.
But it's
incredible, and that's one of the wonderful things that women bring to treatment. So when we come back after the break, we're going to talk about what happens in women's treatment. How does this whole thing work? And what are the nuts and bolts of it? And we're going to be asking Lori and Marianne some of the things that happen up at Crossroads. I was wondering, you know, a lot of people, we talk about treatment a lot here. I'm sure a lot of people don't know what happens in treatment. Can you walk us through kind of a typical day at Crossroads in a women's program?
Sure. During the day, the women have therapy groups. They do holistic groups as well, like acupuncture, yoga. We have expressive therapy. Every day is a therapy group, but then during the week, we have different types of groups like acupuncture and expressive therapy. We also have parenting groups that we do with the women, meditation. And then, like, a day will start, they start the day with a community group. So it kind of starts the day out. They do the serenity prayer. They talk about what the day plan is. And then from there, they'll do groups after that. We have a lunch together. And then they have more groups in the afternoon. They do have time for self-care and stuff like that. And, I mean, on different days, we'll have different things going on. We go out into the community for other things, like we go to the recovery center. We do go to a group called Moms in Recovery, Tools for Life. We also have sober fun. We have game time. Sometimes we'll go to the beach. We do walks.
It sounds great.
Yeah, Abby and I are going to come up for a week.
I was going to say, there's quite a variety of things that we do.
Do women bring specific issues into, I mean, they obviously do, but what are some of the things that women bring specifically to treatment? Emotionally,
probably, I mean, just being able to tell their story and, mm-hmm. and not feel the guilt and shame, you know. I think we're, the program here is very supportive in that way and open. And, I mean, all the staff is amazing working with the women. I think that they just are able to sit down. And if, even at night when some of the clinicians on here, the staff that's on at night, they're supportive to the women. Just sometimes they just need to talk. And I think I want to emphasize it's amazing to watch. Like, women will come in and we have 15 beds. And they'll say, I'm not going to make it 30 days or 28 days or 60 days with this many women in one house. To watch the relationships evolve is just, it's healing for them, but it's amazing. It really is.
That's really funny because we were just talking about that in group, and both Holly and Kristen were talking about that. But Holly, you had a different feeling about being with women.
Yeah, I heard a lot of women say, I don't get along with other women. So I know that was an issue for a lot of women. I didn't have that experience, but I didn't have a lot of deep, you know, relationships with anybody, men, women, family, while I was, you know, actively using. But it was, you know, it certainly was, I did develop some relationships there. And, you know, it was definitely helpful to be in the, you know, in the presence of people that were sort of struggling with the same issues, a lot of the moms, where I could, you know, things that I kept really, you know, as a Wellesley housewife, I was keeping a lot of things secret that, you know, I didn't feel like I really had to put on a bit of a front on a daily basis. And I just felt like I knew a lot of people that drank a lot, but I didn't know anybody that was in recovery. So I really felt like I was the only one. So it was really helpful to be with other women and in the hear them talk about the issues that I was having.
Kristen, you talked about going in and kind of not wanting to be around a bunch of women. And how did that change for you?
I think it took some time. But, you know, for me, it was like I didn't really want to be around anyone at the point that I was. I mean, I was just so afraid of disappointing anyone. I didn't trust myself. I didn't trust the process of anything anymore. And I honestly wasn't even sure if I wanted to stay sober. But by being around women that had the same experiences as I did, and getting their support, and just like for the first time in years having people believe me. I mean, I didn't blame my family and friends for not believing me by the time I, you know, got to the point that I was when I went into treatment. But, you know, they found my strength, like, when I honestly didn't think I had any left. And they brought it out in me. You know, I became like, we filled voids for each other. You know, the moms that were missing their daughters, like, I acted as if their daughter. And, you know, for me, missing my sister or my mom, you know, they acted like my sister and my mom. Like, we formed bonds that I still have some of those to this day. I mean, my counselor at the time, you know, she was the first one that actually took my word at face value in a really long time. And honestly, I kind of looked at her like she was crazy half the time. Like, you sure you want to believe me? But it gave me motivation to actually want to follow through and do what I said I would do. And I got a lot of integrity and built my character back up. And, you know, it took a lot of time. But, you know, women helping women is like one of the most empowering things. And bringing my truth to the table, like, really freed me, I think, from active addiction.
Can I add something to that?
Okay.
Because I think that that is such a critical, that was Kristen that spoke.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? That's such a critical perspective for a woman's healing process. So often when women come in, think about the words that we use to describe other women. Catty. I'm not going to say some of the other words. Maybe they're not appropriate to say on the radio.
Good.
But, you know, I think that that's always a reflection of how we feel about ourselves when we're coming in. And with substance abuse, with addiction, we've sacrificed that sense of self. And so when we are able to be in a treatment setting with other women and we're starting to empower one another and we're starting to feel the benefit of that, and we can speak highly of someone to the point of saying, I can look at that person as if they're my mother or my sister and care about them deeply, and I'm still holding on to these bonds, I think it says something about the healing that's taken place within ourselves, because we're starting to feel better about us. We're starting to feel better about our relationships as women. We're starting to learn how to develop healthier relationships. When we leave treatment now, we don't need to go back to those negative relationships because we've changed on the inside. And I think that's a huge thing for a woman's treatment. And I think, Kristen, when you were talking about your experience in treatment there, that you really kind of summed that what happens up very nicely.
Thank you.
It's an interesting thing, and I wanted to ask Holly, now that you're in recovery and you see women come into the rooms of recovery, do you have your experience that you can share with them, and what do you tell women?
Yeah, thank you for asking that, because I was just thinking about that. When it translates from treatment over to recovery, you know, the 12-step recovery that I'm in, they say, you know, men with the men and women with the women. And I definitely, you know, I'm really passionate about recovery, and part of my recovery is helping other women. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it sounds really altruistic, but it's to help me stay sober. So that's what I do, you know, on a daily basis. Like, I'm helping other women. I'm not, you know, trying to help other men. I direct them to a man. So it definitely follows through into, you know, the AA and, you know, the 12-step programs is the men with the women and women with the women. So I think there's something to that. For sure.
Do women, do you see women kind of making some of the same mistakes that you've made?
Oh, absolutely.
And do you
ever... I have them, you know, if I'm speaking at a meeting and they come up to me afterwards and they say, oh, you seem so together now, but God, you were a real mess. And you really identified with a lot of the things that you did. Because, you know, when you tell your story, you know, kind of from beginning to end, I mean, I'm a different person now than I was 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
People can identify with it, and I think, you know, when you stick with it and you grow, people want what you have, and they'll approach you and say, gee, can you help me? And that's how it works.
You know, some of the things that women have going for them, we've talked about, but some of the challenges too are that women are less likely to seek addiction treatment than men.
They get sicker quicker.
They have more barriers to treatment. Our friends from Crosswords are talking about that. So it's really a difficult thing to parse out. And it's amazing to me that anybody, you know, coming into recovery can, you know, kind of navigate the whole thing and come out the other end and be helpful to other people and pass it on. So I want to thank you, Holly, for, I know you got to go because you're going to go be of service somewhere.
Yep, that's
so
correct.
We want to thank you so much for being on Right Turn Radio. When we come back, we're going to talk more with our friends from Crossroads and more with our friend Kristen about recovery and some of the things they do to kind of spread the word and help people, you know, navigate recovery. So you're listening to Right Turn Radio. We'll be back after a break. I'm just wondering, Marianne and Lori, what kind of work you do with the women you work with to prepare them for a life in recovery? What does that preparation look like?
Absolutely. I can maybe start by answering that, and Lori, you can chime in towards the end to kind of talk a little bit more about the case management work that you do with the women. First and foremost, it's incredibly important to include the family in the programming. That's a critical piece.
Why is that important?
Oftentimes, it's the families that the women are returning home to, and everybody in the system has been affected and impacted. It's not uncommon to hear a parent giving us a call because they need to get their daughter into treatment, and one of the parents is preparing to quit their job and leave a successful career, to be home to try and take care of their daughter. Or it's not uncommon for parents to call us and their relationship is on the brink of divorce because of the challenges that his addiction has brought into their life. And so it's important for the whole family to kind of look at their role in order for the loved one that's in treatment with us to have better outcomes when they return. So the family piece is incredibly important. Sometimes extended care is definitely a nice referral opportunity when women can do it. Sometimes it's hard for women to kind of take that extra time because they might have young children at home.
So extended care is just, let's explain to not everybody, it's just longer treatment.
Exactly.
Structure.
Exactly. At Crossroads, we offer primary treatment. So in our two residential programs in Windham and in Portland, women are staying for treatment for 30 to 60 days. So that's their first starting point with recovery. But oftentimes, a step down might be extended care, where maybe they go for programming that might be 3 to 6 months in length or maybe longer. One of the other things that we do is we really try to connect them to the recovery community. And as Lori mentioned earlier, women are going to meetings daily. Staff, of course, is always with them, or we're having meetings in-house. A lot of times if you're a woman and you're experiencing challenges with addiction, you're not necessarily going to want to walk into a room full of strangers that you don't know. It's going to be a very intimidating process, especially if you've had trauma. So we really try and do that in a group setting and offer that support. Lori, maybe you can speak a little bit more about some of the things that you do to connect women with resources in the community.
Yep. What I do, I'm the caseworker for the women that are here. And so I will work with them on anything from housing and then medical, financial, nutrition. We do it like a needs assessment, and then right from there, that way I can kind of meet the woman where she's at and then go from there and make an individual service plan. So we come up with what's most important. Housing is probably one of the biggest things we come across for the women. And we do try to, like for women with young children, we have a good collaboration with a couple programs outside of here that actually extend services for up to 2 years. I think one's 18 months and one is 2 years.
Well, it sounds like you really help them get ready for the next step. Kristen, when you were in treatment, what did you get help with to get, you know, to kind of get ready for the rest of your life? And what do you help the women you work with?
Well, first and foremost, I mean, it was like I needed the basics. I needed to learn how to do everything over again, from like waking up in the morning, making my bed, cleaning my space, like unfortunately cleaning myself. I mean, it's embarrassing to admit, but when we're out there using, we don't take care of ourselves. We let everything go. And there's one thing that is important to us, and that's our drug of choice. So anyways, you know, I had a routine. I got structure. I needed that badly. Peer pressure, like, you know, I'm living with 40 other women. If I'm the only one that can't make my bed in the morning, you know, that's embarrassing. So, you know, it was a good thing for me to have people watching. And, you know, they gave me enough room to hang myself, but they also gave me the support and encouragement I needed to believe that I could be a member of society again. And, you know, it started from just being able to communicate with people again and be honest with people again and trust myself. And then eventually over time, it's like, you know, they let you go out to your own meetings. No staff member comes with you. And, you know, I had to, like, prove to myself at some point down the line that this is what I wanted to do. It took me a while to get there, but, you know, going to meetings on my own, learning how to build a network outside the house, which started in the house, because it's important to, like, learn how to talk to women and relate to them so that you could go out into the real world and build a network of recovery outside of the program. And then eventually, you know, getting a little get well job. I had to humble myself, and I had to realize that I had to start from the ground up. And, you know, if I put my all into it, I would get farther than, you know, half-assing it like I was normally doing out there using. And nothing came easy, but it was worth the work that I had to put into it. And I got a lot of help and support from my case manager and the other staff and the women I worked, you know, lived with. It was a huge eye-opener to see someone my age that was there. You know, I was there for a year. It's up to 2 years. And it was really empowering to see someone my age come in the door from work, you know, eat her dinner, sit down, tell us what she did that day. You know, when I had like 30 days clean, I remember thinking, how the hell am I going to ever do that? But to see someone that had been where I had been get there gave me the motivation and the belief that I could do it too.
Well, thank you for sharing with us. And you've been wonderful, and good luck in your future recovery.
Thank you for having
me. And I wanted to hear from you had some things you wanted to promote about Crossroads.
Sure. Crossroads.
We have a limited amount of time, though.
I could be very quick. Crossroads recently opened a 30-day primary treatment program in Portland, Maine, for women with addiction. It's 8 beds, so it's wonderful for a woman who'd perform a more intimate setting. It's a 30-day program. We are able to keep women up to 45 days if needed. We have master's-level clinicians on staff. It's competitively priced, $12,000 for a double, $16,000 for a single. You know, we're able to get people in pretty quickly if needed. We also have a wonderful residential program that's been around for 40 years in our Wyndham location. That's where Crossroads started, and that's specifically geared for mothers with children and children specifically under the age of 5.
So that it's how do folks get in touch with you at Crossroads? That's the most important.
They can call 207-773-9931, or they can go on to our website, and there's a link there where they can connect with somebody in intake.
Well, thank you so much, Marianne Roy and Lori Martin from Crossroads. I want to thank Holly and Kristen for being here and sharing their stories. Abby, another really interesting show and a learning experience for me. You've been listening to the Right Turn Radio podcast. Check us out at right-turn.org. I'm John Cohan.
And I'm Abby Dean. Remember, be safe and ask for help.